And this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Kathy Fink and Marcy Marks are Father Guido Sarducci, Duck's Breath. Harry will be showing up, and we're going to start off with Fresh Prince. That's right. This is our user-friendly show. That's what it is. We have a very friendly interface, very easy to take, no complicated commands. You don't even need a mouse. You just sit back and let your ears do all the work. Of course, behind that interface, it gets complicated. It takes hours and hours to put this show together. All sorts of intricate circuits running back and forth. And we have to collect the records and write the material and get the guests in and set up all the recording equipment. But for you, at home, it's very user-friendly. Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff. This is a rap record with humor. Who stole my car?
Yo, what's up, homie?
Yo, what's up, Prince?
Yo, what's up, man? Hey, where's my car at?
Where's your car? Why you asking me?
No, I parked my car right here. You're standing here. Where's my car?
I've been here for about an hour and a half. I ain't seen it.
Come on, man. Stop playing, Jeff. Where's my car at?
No, I'm serious, man. It's not in my pocket. I haven't seen your car.
Jeff, where's my car? I parked my car right here.
I don't know.
Now a joke is a joke. These fun and games are chill. But this isn't funny, y'all. This is straight up ill. Now there's a limit to humor, and this is going too far. I ain't laughing no more, y'all. Now who stole my car?
I don't know.
Now, I don't know if you ever had a car stolen before, but it's a real crazy feeling when you walk out the door and you don't need a map or any kind of chart to know you're standing in the spot your car used to be parked. Now, you know you parked your car there, but yet you keep looking because your mind didn't accept yet that somebody took it. So you're scratching your head and trying to get things clear, and it's always some idiot saying,
"You sure you parked here?"
To call the police would be the move that was smart, but instead you keep looking where you know you didn't park. Searching for reasons like maybe tickets you owed. Something to justify that maybe it got towed. But not stolen, though, never forget it. But then you ask yourself, well, where the hell is it? If there was a prize, you'd win dummy of the year. Cause you're looking somewhere else when you know you parked it here. So through Never Never Land, you find yourself strolling. Then when you finally accept that it's stolen, you call the police and they come and say,
"That's the 437th car stolen today."
As if that's something that he really needed to mention. Then they start asking you real dumb questions like,
"Well, when's the last time that you saw it?"
You idiot, right before they stole it. Now you're mad, this cop is talking to you. When somebody's in your car headed to Kalamazoo. It's always a fool or whoever you are. Would you please get off your butt and find who stole my car? Car, I'll never forget it. A candy apple red IROC, windows deep tinted. Talk about fast like a rocket to drive. Went from 0 to 60 in like 5.5. And matching red rims, but that wasn't enough. It had a carbon for when I wanted to reach out and touch. An Alpine stereo to straight up rock. With 12-inch woofers you could hear for blocks. The first day I got it, I was fronting real hard. I could hear people saying, "Damn, I was hyped and I wanted my friends to check it out. So I went to the spot where they're usually hanging out. Just my luck, nobody standing outside. And I really didn't feel like parking my ride. So I honked my horn and nobody was coming. I thought, what the heck, I ran inside and left them running. I was inside for 20 seconds, that's all. I found my friends and said, "You gotta check this out, y'all." But when we came back out, the car wasn't there.
Man, you ain't buying nothing.
I did, I swear. My friends went inside, I was mad, they didn't believe me. Now I'm standing outside in the spot my car used to be. It was hard to figure out what to do all alone. But then I got it. Call the car phone.
Fresh Prince's car.
Yo, thief, bring my car back now or I'll bust your...
Hold up, wait a minute, pal. Seems like you forgot who's got the key.
I thought, man, he's right. Well, bring it back, please. Hello, Mr. Thief, don't hang up. Then luckily, Jeff pulled up. I told him what had happened. Someone stole my car. I said, "Come on, Jeff, let's get him. He can't be far." We rode around for about 20 minutes, and we were just about to say forget it when I spotted him. I said, "Jeff, go get it." We pulled up behind him, and man, dude, jetted. He was driving all wild and fast, like he was getting points for the stuff that he crashed. I called him on the car phone again, and I said, "Of course you realize when I catch you, you're dead." All through Philly was a high-speed chasing. Dude was playing around like he thought he was racing. 100 miles an hour, and he lost control and slammed my car into a telephone pole. I ran to the car, said, "Man, you okay?" Said yeah, so I punched him in the face. The cops came up as if it was my fault. They saw me punch dude and charged me with assault. If his neck was closer, I probably would have grabbed it. He told the cops that I said he could have it.
I calmed down and they got things straight. I saw half my car 7th Street, the other half in 8th. I wanna just jump in the ocean. My car looked like it was a Lego explosion. Why does life have to be so hard? Don't laugh, next time it can be your car.
Hello, gang. Tom Chapin is joining me here in the studio.
Harry, Steve, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Tom.
Do you know something I never told you?
Yeah.
I had a brother named Harry, and I have a brother named Steve.
Is that true?
That's true.
Wow, are they like the same person just the way we are?
No, actually.
Harry.
My brother Harry was a very famous singer-songwriter who wrote a lot of very famous songs that probably a lot of parents listening out there know, Cats in the Cradle and,
sure.
and Taxi and songs
Harry
like that.
Harry Chapin. Now, wait, actually, there's a question I've been meaning to ask you before I forget. Mary Chapin Carpenter?
No.
No relation. Okay.
She says she's not related, although Chapin is her middle name. It's her grandma's maiden name. So it's her father's mm-hmm. mother's name was Chapin. So she may be related. We don't know. Of course, as we say in Family Tree, you know, we're all related,
sure.
so who knows.
Sure. Chapin Charney? Might have gotten mixed up
could
there.
Be. Could be. Who knows? And you know who I brought along
yes,
with me?
Yes, we're not mentioning him. We're the fourth of the party here.
My good friend, Michael Mark.
Yes, Michael.
Hello. Nice to be here. Nice yes. to meet you, Harry.
Well, sure. It's nice to meet you, too. Especially the guy who wrote songs like Shovel It and a lot of other songs that Tom does. It's an honor. And the theme song to Entertainment Tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I see you brought your little friend there. What is that strange little device there?
This little device is an Anglo-chromatic concertina. Aren't you glad you asked?
Yeah. We look related.
Show how it breathes.
Some people know it as a squeeze box. And it's like a little accordion. Has buttons on each side. And it needs air to run.
Don't put your finger in the way when he's doing that.
That's a particular button that lets the air in and out of the bellows. I call it the Darth Vader button.
It does sound like Darth Vader.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
I'm still fantastic. Learning how to play it.
You know how he got this instrument? There's a long story here, which I'll make very short. I went into a music store, and when I go to music stores, it's very difficult for me to come out without an instrument. And the guy who owned the music store played this very well. And he said, oh, this is a great instrument. It's very easy. He started playing it, and it was beautiful. So I took it home, and I started to play it, and it was not very easy.
Mm.
But not only that, but every time I played it, my dog, Holly, started going, oh. So my wife said, no, not in the house. So I put it underneath bed. And then one day I said, you know, Michael is very good at instruments. He learns instruments very quickly. Mm.
And I don't have a dog.
So I give it to Michael, and he's been playing
Excellent.
It ever since, and he's getting better and better and better.
Little by little.
Oh, that's okay. It looks a little bit like an accordion, but it's a lot more simplified.
Yes. Well, they used to use it on old sailing ships. It's really it's an English instrument, and it's used to play English folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's used to play an American Tom Chapin song.
we're going to sing you a song that's on my Mother Earth record, and it's a song that's become a very favorite with a lot of families because it's about my favorite relatives who are not my parents, not my brothers and sisters, not my grandparents, who I like all of them, and not my aunts and uncles, but my cousins. And when I was a kid, I used to love to visit my cousins. Of course, I was one of six boys. So now the thought of having six boys visit my house has a different connotation. So we're going to dedicate this song to all the parents out there who have nephews. And it starts like this.
The cousins are coming.
Pulled into the driveway like a frigate dropping sail. And out came Butch and Mike and Bill and Ben and Baby Gail. Uncle Hugh looked tasseled, but his vest was all aglow. Hello.
Hi.
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 Yo. Hello. Cousins, cousins, here come the boys. Kalum, mayhem, noise, noise, noise. Blow up the air mattresses, hide the breakable toys. Cousins, cousins, here come the boys.
We sat in the basement playing cards, all quiet and discreet, till Mikey peeked at Billy's hand, and Billy said,
you cheat.
I don't.
You do.
Did not.
He did.
Then we heard Grandpa say, I've had about enough of this. I'm taking the cards away.
Then Butchie went and fell on a rake and bled all over the floor. They stitched him up and gave him a shot, and Butchie was back for more. He ate a hero sandwich and he drank a quart of punch.
Then he disobeyed the doctor and went swimming after lunch. Cousins, cousins, here come the boys. Bedlam, mayhem, noise, noise, noise. Blow up the air mattresses, hide the breakable toys. Cousins, cousins, here come the boys.
Late that night we bedded down and began the pillow fight. That broke the big aquarium, the mirror and the light. We swept the glass and saved the fish and put them in the john. Well, no one knows what happened, but next morning they were gone.
And then at breakfast Baby Gail went backwards in her chair.
Mikey pushed me.
Hey, wasn't me.
Was
not, I swear. Then Mikey hurled a muffin, hitting Billy on the bean.
Twas the most gigantic food fight this world has ever seen. Cousins, cousins, here come the boys. Bedlam, mayhem, noise, noise, noise. Blow up the air mattresses, hide the breakable toys. Cousins, cousins, here come the boys.
Then Uncle Hugh said, time to go, we gotta get out of here. It took them half the afternoon to pack up all their gear. And when they piled into the car, Aunt Bess was full of woe. Bye, bye.
So long.
See ya.
Bye.
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 Yo-ho, cousins, cousins, here go the boys. Bedlam, mayhem, noise, noise, noise.
My mom sat down and gave a sigh and said to me, you know, I love to see your cousins come. I love to see them go.
Cousins, cousins, there go the boys. Bedlam, mayhem, noise, noise, noise.
Bye-bye.
So
see ya.
Forget to write.
Hey,
so
you forgot your bathing suit.
Yeah, I think you forgot your sister.
National Federal Consolidated Loan and Trust Bank is changing its name to Mickey.
That's me.
Yes, now you have a friend in the banking business.
Me? I'll be your friend now.
Yes, no longer will going to the bank be a chore. At Mickey, we'll make all your banking fun.
We'll have so much fun together.
We've redecorated. No more drab grays and browns at Mickey.
Uh-uh.
You'll bank in a bright, swirling pastel wonderland.
I painted it myself, but you can help me next time if you want to. Friend.
Every teller at Mickey is a cheerful, colorful animal character who will take your money with a minimum of fuss. And of course, waiting in line will no longer be a problem because you'll be entertained continually by
me, Michael Rowe, the Kumbaya! Doodah, doodah. Come on, everybody, sing!
And the 24-hour Mickey money machine is loads of fun to use. Tweak Mickey's nose.
Ow!
And you have $20. Put your night deposit under his hat.
Don't mess my hair.
And poke him in the eye to get your balance.
$3,335.23.
And every new depositor at Mickey gets a popsicle in your choice of flavors. And you get to meet
me, Mickey. I'll be your friend. Okay? Okay? Please?
Beg Mickey.
$50,000 minimum deposit required.
I love that. I love that bit. Oh, that says so much about our society, doesn't it? That's from a CD called Greetings from Duck's Breath.
Hey, look what I brought in. 3D glasses. Look, you see, you put them on, and everything looks three-dimensional. Height, width, and depth.
Oh, those are so cool. I love those things. Did you ever see a whole audience wearing them in a movie theater? It looks eerie.
I know, Steve. You want to try them on? I have a pair right here. Here.
Well, I don't know if I want a pair. Just give me one of them.
I don't think I can do that, Steve. They're attached to each other. You can't separate the glasses.
So then it's not a pair, is it? It would be a pair if you had one for me and one for you.
Yeah, but it is a pair of glasses.
Just give them to me, will you? I want to try them on. Thanks. Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, man, you're right, Har. Oh, everything is 3D. This is great. Look, I'm holding my hand up in front of my face, and sure enough, I'm looking at a three-dimensional hand.
3D glasses are great, aren't they?
Now, wait, now I'm looking at you. Yeah, Harry, this is wild. You actually look like you're three-dimensional.
Well, I sort of am.
Let's see if I can walk around the studio with these on. Oh, this is fun, man. It's like virtual reality. I feel like I'm actually in a movie. As if I went right into the screen. It's too bad you don't have a pair on, too. Hey, look, see the garbage can? It actually pops out at you as if it had three dimensions.
Well, it sort of does.
I wonder if you could buy 2D glasses. You know, you put them on and everything looks like it's in two dimensions, all flat.
Oh, well, that's easily done, Steve. Hey, give me those glasses back.
Yeah, there you go. What are you going to do?
Here, watch, Steve.
What? You just broke one of the lenses.
Yeah, now try them on with just one lens.
All right. Hey, you're right. Everything is 2D. I'm looking at my hand again, and it looks flat as a pancake.
That is a pancake. Your hand's over here.
Oh, yeah. How did that get in here? Hey, look, when you only have one lens instead of two, it looks like the window is as flat as a board.
A window is as flat as a board, Steve.
The walls, the surface of the desk, even the CD looks really flat. You know what would be cool? If there was such a thing as 1D glasses.
One-dimensional glasses? Oh, I think that could be arranged. Here, give me those back.
Yeah? What are you going to do?
Here, Steve, watch.
Oh.
There, Steve. Now both lenses are broken. Try it on.
All right. Hey, look at that. I'm wearing glasses without any glass, and everything is in 1D. There's no width. There's no depth. There's no breadth.
If there's no breath, how do you breathe?
Everything's a dot. One big dot.
Let me try one, Steve. Thanks. Hey, that's not one big dot. That's your head.
Say, I found that recipe for orange cocoa cakes. Oh, Joni, get a pencil quick, because can you believe I'm by myself? Hal's at work, the kids are out there playing house, all three of them, they're all out on the deck. One half cup unsweetened cocoa, one half cup of boiling water, quarter cup of butter, and a quarter cup of shortening, two cups sugar, 1/8 teaspoon salt, teaspoon of vanilla, 1 1/2 teaspoons baking soda. Excuse me just a sec. I'm right over here. Would you like some crackers and bologna? Are you having fun? Don't get too much sun. Please excuse me while I talk to Joni. 2 eggs, Joni, David, crackers, dear, not malted milk, balls in the cupboard. Joni, 1 cup buttermilk or sour milk, 1 3/4 cups unsifted, ring bologna in the fridge, unsifted, general purpose. David, did you really check? 1 3/4 cups unsifted, general purpose flour, Joni. There, I finally got it out. Okay, David, malted milk balls, only 5, though. 3/4 teaspoon grated orange peel, 1/4 teaspoon orange extract. Uh-oh, excuse me just a sec. Liz, Ben, I'm here in the den. Would you like some crackers and bologna? Are you having fun? Don't get too much sun. Please excuse me while I talk to Joni. Joni, 1 1/8 teaspoon of Lizzie. What's the matter, dear? Baking soda, Joni. Lizzie, don't hit Benji. That's uncalled for. That's okay, Ben. Joni, 3 more tablespoons of buttermilk or sour milk. Oh, come here, Liz. What's that on your neck? Now don't worry, Liz. It's only one real tiny tick. Someone, David, go and get the tweezers. Joni, maybe in the bathroom. Joni, maybe we should. Ben, don't cry. Have 1 more malted milk ball. Lizzie, Mom will be right there. But excuse me just a sec. Really gotta go, Joan, see about a tick. We're gonna have a party with the neighborhood kids, and Lizzie has to go to an appointment at 11, and I'm taking Benji too because we have to buy a costume. He's in a play tomorrow over at the church. Isn't it tomorrow, Benji? Benji, where'd you go? Lizzie, isn't Benji gonna play a piece of pie tomorrow? I remember now, a pumpkin pie. Lizzie can't go, there's a party in the park for all the people with cats. Well, you know she gotta go to that, and Daddy gotta take her in the kitty and the Chevy. After that, we have to reconnoiter over at the big boy. Gotta go, Joan, by the way, did you ever reconsider getting married, having children of your own? Turn the television down, your mother's on the telephone. Call you back, Joan, toodaloo.
Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. That's a Peter and Lou Berryman song from their CD, A Parent's Home Companion. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry brought in a pair of 3D glasses. I tried them on. It was cool. Everything was in 3D. Garbage can, record player. It was almost as if I could reach out and touch them. Then he broke one of the lenses, and they became 2D glasses. Everything looked flat, like the window and the top of the desk. Then he broke the last lens, and everything looked one-dimensional, like one big dot. Though, Harry, you'd think that you'd need 2 lenses for 2D glasses and 3 lenses for 3D glasses. Not 2 lenses for 3D glasses and 1 lens for 2D glasses and no lens for 1D glasses.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
You want to see my 4D glasses?
Wow. You're kidding. You really have 4D glasses?
That's right. First 3 dimensions are width, height, and depth. And the 4th dimension, according to Einstein, is time. Here, try them on, Steve.
Okay. Wow, look at that. I'm seeing the objects in the room passing through time. Look at you, Harry. As I watch you, you're getting older. That is so cool. You better watch it. With these glasses on, in 50 or 60 years, you'll be an old man.
Look at the mirror, Steve.
You know what? Oh, my goodness, look at me. I'm getting older every second. These are really neat glasses. Not only do I see everything in three dimensions, but I also see the passage of time. These are great.
You want to try my 5D glasses?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, put them on, Steve.
Well, what's going to happen?
You'll see an extra dimension, one that you don't ever perceive.
Okay, here goes. Oh, man. This is wild. Everything bends back into itself, creating a large pocket that holds a fruit basket.
Huh?
Look at that garbage can. It looks like, well, I can't really describe it. It's another dimension. It's like trying to describe the color red to a blind person. But there's a fruit basket in the middle of it. Everything has fruit baskets, including you, Harry. Hold still.
Hey, what are you doing? Your hand is going right into me.
I just plucked a banana from your fifth dimension. Ooh, it's right, too. You don't mind, do you?
Hey, that's my banana.
I'll just peel it here. Mmm. It's good.
Are you sure that's a banana you're eating and not, for instance, my appendix?
Here, take a bite, huh?
Okay. That is a good banana.
Strange dimension, the fifth dimension. Here, you try him on.
All right, Steve. Hey, you're right. There is a fruit basket and everything. And didn't you notice the cards?
There's a card in the fruit basket?
Yeah, let me open one up. It says, "Welcome to the fifth dimension. Here's a little gift for you. Enjoy yourself. Love, God."
One song in particular that I hate. I used to love this song, now I hate it. 100 bottles of beer on the wall. You know it? You know this song? I just heard it. It was about 5 years ago. I heard it for the first time. I thought, this is a lot of fun. You know, this is a great song. I started, you know, parties and that, you know, try to get it going and that. And then I remember this guy come over and says, you know, it's not too cool to do this 100 bottles of beer on the wall. He says, you know, that's a song. It's made for buses. Excuse me, please, you know. It's a song, it's only made for chartered buses. I tried doing it once on a city bus. Was in New York, you know, and these people give me these looks. Another song I hate, "Happy Birthday to You." You know this song? I always thought, who was the brilliant person who wrote the lyrics to "Happy Birthday to You"? Maybe the same guy wrote 100 bottles of beer on the wall. And you know, "Happy Birthday to You," you think it's a short song until it's your birthday. Then it seems to last forever. And you don't know where to look. You know, you just sit there, you know. Is it anybody's birthday? Yeah. It is. Yours? What's your name?
Lori.
Well, Lori, we're not going to embarrass you, you know, and sing it to you, but you know how it goes, right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lori. Happy birthday to you. I know all the words. I know them all. I got this idea for, like, a short version of "Happy Birthday to You." It would go, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Lori, happy birthday to you." I know it only cuts out 6-7 seconds, but over a period of a lifetime, we're talking 6-7 minutes, you know, so next time somebody's a birthday, you know, do the short version. Hey, do you have a cake? Not yet, you gonna? And you don't know, I think yes, he says yes, your friend, isn't that nice? And the candles and everything. I think most people hate that. You know? I think the only people like candles on the cake is little kids. And they hardly get any.
Father Guido Sarducci. That's from a CD called Breakfast in Heaven. And, oh, he's been around a long time, hasn't he? This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Yeah, we've been trying on different glasses, man. Whoa! We started with 3D glasses, which made everything appear in three dimensions. Then Harry showed me his 4D glasses, where we saw the passage of time. Things got really weird with the 5D glasses. In the fifth dimension, everything bends back onto itself and contains a fruit basket with a greeting card from God. It's really cool.
Yeah, and now we're ready to try on 6D glasses, Steve.
Ooh, 6D glasses. Whoa. Okay, now when I put these glasses on, not only will I see the usual 4 dimensions of height, width, depth, and time, but also the 5th dimension of fruit baskets and the 6th dimension, which will be something altogether different.
Precisely.
Okay, here we go. Slip them over my eye. Oh. 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 Oh.
What? What? What?
Oh, man. This is wild.
What? What?
All time, all space has disappeared. It's as if I'm seeing the Big Bang and the end of the universe all at the same time. And I'm seeing the far reaches of the universe as if they're right here next to me. Oh, wow. Oh, gee, this is too much. In the 6th dimension, everything bends back onto itself. Time, space, all of it becomes one. And in the middle of it is one big, humongous, omniscient, all-knowing fruit basket.
Steve, maybe you better take the glasses off now.
Get away from me, never! I'll never take them off! They're mine, I tell you! Mine! Get away from me! I'm one step from the Orion Nebula! I can reach out and touch it! I'm warning you, Har! I'll go there if I have to! Give me those glasses! Hey, get away from me, I tell you! This is too good! I got them! I got them! Oh, man. That was incredible. The 6th dimension is the best. Oh, I grabbed an apple from Alpha Centauri. Here, it's a present for me, Har.
I can't see any apple.
Well, of course not. It's in the 6th dimension. But it's sitting on your head. Of course, it stretches from here to Neptune. If we made it into applesauce, we could feed the entire Earth several times over. Too bad no one can perceive it.
Well, I don't think I want you trying on the final pair of glasses, Steve.
You've got 7D glasses?
Exactly.
Oh, man, come on. You gotta let me try on the 7-dimensional glasses.
Well, you flipped out with the 6Ds, Steve. What do you think is gonna happen with the 7Ds?
Where are you getting these glasses, anyway?
None of your business!
Give them to me.
No!
Give them to me!
No!
Give them to me!
All right, just be careful, Steve. This is a radio program for children, and, well, if you go off the deep end, who knows what's gonna happen?
All right, I'm gonna put them on.
Go ahead, Steve. Put them on.
Here goes. Slip them over my eyes.
Steve? Steve? Talk to me, Steve! Steve, talk to me!
There is no Steve here. Only oneness.
Steve, take the glasses off, Steve. Oh, man, he's gone.
If you visit WGAC.org, click on Archives, type in our phone book, you can listen to previous .com programs.